Well, good morning. My name is Randy Garris. I'm the senior minister here at College Heights Christian Church, and I've come here this morning to dispel a rumor, a lie. I am not on sabbatical. I'm not going to leave this stage to a long-haired punk. I'm here. And I want to clear up these lies, because as Christ followers, it's important for us not to be walking down a path that leads to a path that's really bad. Where's my handkerchief? Get it. Some of you are saying right now, something's not right. And you are right. I'm not Randy. My name is Jay St. Clair. And I am excited to be here this morning. I need a high five. I mean, after last week, I'm ready for round two. But I need to start with the story. Last Thursday, Josh and I were praying out on my deck. And I cried out, God, feed me. And my dog fell over dead right there. I mean, weird things happen when Josh and I pray. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Something's not right. And you're right, because I'm not Jay. Maybe this helps. Does that help? Or no, what about, let's see. Maybe that helps some. No, not so much. Okay, what about this one? Does that help? No? Okay. Well, does this help? Hey, some of you, though, are shaking your head no. You say, pick up the mask and wear it, because we don't like what we see, and I get it. I have to see it every morning, and it's not pretty. I understand. But what I want to say this morning is this. Sometimes things just aren't as they seem. I mean, sometimes things just aren't as they seem. The last time I had short hair was in the summer of 2009. And ever since I started growing out my hair, I usually get several different types of comments that can fall into one of three categories. And each of the categories start with an H. Usually people say something like, you're a hippie, or you're homeless, or you're a heretic. One of the three is usually what I get. But what I don't usually get is the question, why is your hair long? Is there a reason? See, because most of the time, people already think they know why my hair is long. They just assume, oh, it's just he has a problem with authority. He's rebellious. Or maybe some people have said, well, he's got a Messiah complex. He thinks he actually looks like Jesus. But they never actually take the time to ask why. And all I need to say really this morning is sometimes things just aren't always what they seem. In the summer of 2009, my family and I were really wrestling with a task that we felt that God had put before us. And we prayed, and we had our community pray with us to seek God's will. And finally, our community exhorted us, and we decided we were going to sell our home, and we were going to take all of our stuff and put it into a garage of one of our friends, and to move to Scotland for 3 months so I could start my PhD. And it was a really difficult thing to actually come to. I actually fought it, and I said, well, it's never going to happen. I was like, we'll put our house up for sale, but it's not going to sell. I mean, in 2009, housing market wasn't doing so well. It sold in 3 weeks. And so we sold it, and we packed up, and we moved. And as a father of three, that's not always an easy thing to do. At the time, I was studying Acts chapter 18. And in Acts chapter 18, verse 18, an interesting verse stuck out to me. It says this, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Now listen to this. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. Now, a lot of different scholars debate why this vow was actually taken by Paul. And frankly, all of them come up with a bunch of different possibilities, none of which we really can say one way or the other. But usually scholars do agree that Paul had taken some form of modified Nazarite vow. And Nazarite vows could be taken for various reasons, but the primary reason is this. God sets a task before his servant, and it is so overwhelming that they have to petition for God to move, because if he doesn't, the task that has been set before them, they not only will fail at it, it will devour them. And during that time, I said, you know, I think I need to take one of those vows. More than a rebellion or more than a problem with authority or a Messiah complex, my hair is long because it reminds me every single morning that he's called me to a task that is bigger than myself. If he doesn't move, it will devour me. All of that to say this. Sometimes things just aren't what they seem. Sometimes things just aren't what they seem. And you felt this tension maybe even this Sunday morning. Maybe even today you felt kind of like what this family felt in this video. Let's watch.
Come on! Hurry up, you two! Let's get in the car! Why do you guys have to be so late all the time?
Dad, do we have to listen to your CDs on the way? They're so...
Careful, young lady! Mustn't let anybody see the real you,
yeah.
Huh?
You want me to tell Dad what I heard you say yesterday?
You didn't hear me say anything.
Yes, I did!
No, you didn't!
Did too!
Did not!
Did too!
Zip it, you
did
two!
Not.
I got enough on my mind! Where is your mother?
So don't touch it. Inside. Scoot over here. Stop it. This is mine. Go get your own.
No, knock it off. I hope you're happy, Harold. Everyone in this neighborhood is going to think you're nuts.
Stop touching
You know what, Mom?
Me.
Sarah said that.
Shut up, dork.
Look, you two, just cut it out or I'm going to come over the scene in a flash.
We're out of here.
Stop it.
You always have to yell at
Get straight right now, son. Listen to me. Everybody out.
Have you been there? I mean, is my family the only one? Or, I mean, you wake up and you're disheveled, and so you get your kids and you throw them, a breakfast on the table. One of them already has their Sunday best on. They start spilling stuff on it. So then you throw them in the car while you're fighting with your wife. You fight all the way to church. You get there and you pop out and say, "Great day in the morning to you, brother. It's a wonderful day in the Lord." I mean, have you been there? Maybe some of you are going, "This morning." We don't need testimonies. Maybe it's worse than that. Maybe some of you have beaten your kids this week. Maybe some of you have allowed your cheating eyes to wander a little farther than what they have before. Maybe some of you have emotionally and verbally abused your spouse this week. Yet you come to church on Sunday. They say, "How you doing, brother?" "Oh, great day in the Lord." Sometimes things just aren't as they seem. Sometimes things just aren't what they seem. And I don't know if it's good news or bad news, but it's not like that this is a new issue for religious people. It's not like that this has just arisen in the past 100 years in the Western churches. This is the same issue that Jesus is dealing with when he talks to the Pharisees in Luke chapter 12. That's our text this morning, Luke chapter 12. Go ahead and turn there. Jesus' ministry is in full form. And as his ministry of love continues to develop, he runs into some conflict with religious people. And in this text, Luke chapter 12, verse 1, it says this. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were actually trampling on one another just to get to Jesus, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying this. Be on your guard. Warning. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now that last line of that verse is actually the Greek word hypokrites. Now, I don't really like to talk about Greek words because sometimes it can just be pedantic. But this is a word we need to know. Which is a word that we really need to actually even know how to pronounce. So we're going to say it together. Ready? Hypokrites. Let's try it again. That way you, okay. Hypokrites. Say it one more time, friends. Hypokrites. I lied one more. Hypokrites. Hypokrites is a Greek word that comes to us from the Greek theater. It's a word that is normally attached to the actors in the theater, where the actors would come on the stage wearing a mask, and the actors were known as the hypokrites. As a matter of fact, Plutarch in the first century, a historian, says this. He says, when tragic hypokrites put on their costumes, they also change their face, their voice, their bearing, and their language. You see, hypokrites is a word that's connected to the idea of presenting yourself as someone that you're really not. Hypokrites is a word that is pictured in wearing a mask to conceal your true identity. Hypokrites is a word really very closely associated with another word, deception. And Jesus looks at the religious leaders of his day and he says, you are play acting. You're walking around with masks. I mean, you come on the stage of the church and you act as if you're someone that you're really not. As a matter of fact, this is the same issue Jesus was dealing with in Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, Jesus unleashes on the Pharisees, and this is the primary issue. Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 7 says this. Everything they do, everything the Pharisees do, is done for men to see. Oh, they make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments so long because they're so holy. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. I mean, they even fight over them. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them Rabbi, Rabbi, because they are so important and special. Jesus says this is the role they're playing. This is the mask they wear. That they're the religious people, the favored of God. For they put on their mask and act like they have it all together. They put on their mask and act like that there is nothing wrong, that their kids are all in order, that their life is not in shambles, that they are alive and well in the Lord. It's a great and wonderful day now, isn't it? And Jesus looks at the Pharisees and he says, but you know sometimes things aren't always what they seem. And Jesus says, now that I'm here, it's time to take off the mask. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 23, 7 different times, Jesus says a very similar phrase. Verse 27, he says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. 7 times. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Oh, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee. First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean. In the same way, on the outside, verse 28, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Hypokrites. Jesus says, you're play acting. You're wearing your mask. You're playing the role. And it is so easy for us today to browbeat the Pharisees. It's so easy to act like, oh, the Pharisees are the only people in the history of the world that have ever walked across the stage with a mask on. But let's be honest. We all know what it feels like to wear a mask. Don't we? I mean, we all know what it's like to live life behind a mask. To convince other people that we are something different than we really are. For even our boldness sometimes even tries to convince God that we're something different than what we really are. We all know what it's like to live life behind a mask. As a matter of fact, we were brainstorming with different ideas for this sermon. And one of the things we almost did was we almost put a paper mask inside of all of your bulletins. But let's be honest. Most of us in here bring our own masks to Sunday and we put them on when we sit down. Why would we just add to the collection? We all know what it's like to live life behind a mask. But the reality is this. Your true identity will come out. It will come out. What is disclosed or what is hidden will be disclosed. It will come out. Whether it is cheating on your taxes, whether it is abusing your spouse, whether it is your addiction to hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness, your true identity will come out. And that's what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verses 2 through 3. Right after he says, beware of their hypocrisy. In verse 2, he says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed. There is nothing hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. You know, I've wrestled a lot in my own life about why I'm addicted to the mask. It's a difficult thing to wrestle through. Why is it that I feel like I need this to survive? And what I tell myself is the reason why I need the mask is because this is where safety is found. This is where security is found. This is where it is comfortable. Life behind the mask. But Jesus says, you know that all those reasons aren't really true. As a matter of fact, in Luke 12, verse 4, Jesus says, I'll tell you why you're addicted to the mask. And it can be summed up with one word, fear. Chapter 12, verse 4 says this, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. I tell you, friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after can do no more. What Jesus is saying is this, the reason you're addicted to the mask is because you think that your power, that your provision, that your security, that your value, your worth is found in the eyes of other people. You think that you have to fight for yourself to provide your own way by presenting yourself to other people as if there is something different than what you really are. You think that provision is found in the masses. And really what the mask becomes for us is a weapon. As we try to fight to take control of our own lives. It's fear. And it's an addiction that needs a remedy. In verse 5, Jesus says, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. To which I respond, what? that's not the answer I was expecting for my mask addiction problem. What I was expecting for Jesus to say was, don't fear. Stop fearing. You're free. Don't be afraid. Instead, what he says is, the problem is you're fearing the wrong person. He says, if you want to get rid of the addiction of the mask, You need to fear God. You need to tremble at the voice of God. You need to fear Him. And that'll take care of the mask. How does that make sense at all? I mean, how is that the answer? What happened to the God that was my buddy and my pal? What happened to the Mr. Rogers Jesus that just wants to help me along? Fear Him? You see, sometimes things aren't always as they seem. See, because Jesus understands something that it's really hard for us to see behind our masks. Jesus understands that you worship what you fear. He understands that you worship what you fear. And maybe there are some of you in here today that what you fear is not matching up to the definition of beauty that this world crams down your throat. And so you spend all of your time and all of your money and all of your effort to match that definition. And you put on your mask every day, and you not only reveal what you fear, you reveal what you worship. The world's definition of beauty. Jesus says, but things aren't always as they seem. Some of you in here, what you worship is security. Maybe it's financial security. And so what you do is you'll climb the corporate ladder no matter what the cost. If you have to step on somebody, if you have to lie a little, cheat a little, it doesn't matter. Security is what I need to find. Success is what I need to attain. And so every day you put on your mask. And you not only reveal what you fear, you reveal what you worship. The world's definition of safety. But Jesus says sometimes things aren't always what they seem. Or maybe there's some of you in here that you're afraid of not matching up to the definition of Christian that you see being imposed on you by everyone around you. So you spend all of your time and effort trying to make sure that on the outside, you've got it all together. And every Sunday, you sit in the pew and you put on your mask. You reveal what you fear and what you worship. This idolatrous image that to be a Christian only means you're good. Jesus says sometimes things aren't always as they seem. What Jesus says is we are to fear God alone. Why? Because He is the only one worthy of worship. We are to fear God because He is the only one that is worthy of worship. You see, hypocrisy is not just about you concealing your identity. It's not just about you hiding from the true you. Hypocrisy is denying the identity of God Himself. For what hypocrisy says is that what you say you are God, I don't believe. Hypocrisy is not so much about your identity as it is about God's. For God looks at us and He says, I am the great provider. But our mask says, no, you're not. Because there are some things, God, you can't provide for, like my reputation. God says, I am the mighty fortress. I am the stronghold to protect you from your enemies. And our mask says, no, you're not. Because if people really knew who I was behind the mask, not even you could protect me from them. God says, I am the light. I will guide you along this path. I am the guiding light that leads you. And our mask says, no, you're not. I'll provide for myself. I will make my own path. I will make my own way. I can't trust you. I'm going to trust the mask. You see, hypocrisy is not so much about you concealing your own identity It's about denying who God says he is. I don't know about you, but even though this is only made out of cardboard and pencils, the mask feels very heavy. It's a burden that is not light and is not easy. What Jesus says is it's time for you to take off your mask. One of the things that we need to realize in order to cure ourselves of the addiction to the mask is this. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And there's a major difference. Jesus is not just about behavior correction. That is not his whole goal. Jesus didn't come just to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He came to take away your sins. He came to take away your fears. He came to give you a life that is free of the plastic faces. He came to destroy the charades, to make you not have to submit yourself to the lies, to absolutely cut you free, because you're not a puppet. You're not a mannequin. You don't need the mask. What you need is Jesus to set you free. The beautiful thing is Jesus comes to us. He says, give me your mask. Because I didn't come just to make you good. I came to resurrect you. So how do we get rid of the mask? It's very simple to stand up here and just say, get rid of your mask. And you're going, okay, I want to, but how? Good question. Jesus gives us two key weapons. Two key weapons that honestly we just don't tap into enough. We really do not utilize these the way we should. And the weapons are this: community and confession. Community and confession. There are many reasons why, I could list them, of why I am so thankful for my wife, and why I love being married. But here's one of the central reasons. My wife knows everything about me. I mean, there's just no secrets between my wife and I. There's none. She knows all of my past sins and my present sins, my past failures, my present failures, my past weaknesses, my present weaknesses, my strengths. She knows everything. And I can't tell you how much freedom there is in knowing that I don't have to live a lie. There is incredible freedom in a community where you are not hiding anything. But here's the beautiful thing. You don't need to be married to have community. Some of you in here, God has called to be single. And that is not a disease to be cured. It is a gift to be treasured. And he says, you want a weapon? You want community? I'll give you a body. I'll give you a people. You know, there are many different ways in the church where you can find community. The one that just makes my heart delighted beyond all measure is our life group. Every Monday night, whenever we're not traveling, wherever we're at, we get together, our families come together. And it's not just a glorified Bible study. It's not just another program that we go to. We've got enough programs. It's living life together. We cry together and we laugh together. We eat meals together. We rebuke each other. We encourage each other. We are committed to a transparent life with each other. And I love it because in our life group, it's not like that we come there and we say, put down your masks. We come there and we say, no, no, no. In your life, masks aren't allowed. There's just no place for them. Jesus has given us a community. And if you don't know what that's like, it's no wonder you feel so alone living behind your mask. Because in a community like that, the power of confession can be felt. To speak out loud that which you are rebelling against God through, to set down your mask in a community that will love and encourage you and support you, it is an incredible feeling of freedom. I mean, it's the reason why Alcoholics Anonymous said the first step to putting down your mask is to come to a community and confess. It'd be really tempting as an invitation today to have you go and confess all your sins to everyone around you. But that'd be a little awkward. So this is the challenge. Go sign up for a life group. Well, that's just really silly, Shane. You're just giving us another task to check off. No. I'm not talking about a group that you just have on the calendar that you go to once a week just to kind of check off that you've done something for the kingdom. I'm talking about signing up for community. I'm talking about you committing yourself to being transparent and confessing, to putting down the mask. The invitation is this. Out in the atrium at the north end, there's a table and there's sign-up sheets. And if you don't know what a life group is, ask them and get involved in a community. You may think, oh, that's trite. How does that make sense? Trust me. There was power in the body of Christ that hung on the cross and power in the body of Christ that he left here. There's power. The only question is will you put down the mask? We've got to realize that Jesus didn't come just to make us good. He came to make us alive. And through confession and community, we might just resurrect. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for giving us a call, Lord, where you ask us to come as we are, as broken and messed up, Jesus, as we are. And yet, God, you say, but I'm not going to let you stay as you are. For you are a God of transformation. You are a God that is holy and sacred and set apart. And Father, yet you still call us your children. Father, forgive us for our addiction to the mask. Forgive us, Father, from hiding from each other and from you. God, allow us to come into the light, for we are not children of darkness. We are children of your truth. God, make us bold. Allow us, Lord, to be vulnerable. For God, you say that in our weakness, you are strong. So, Lord, make us weak. Speak to us, Father. It's in your powerful name we pray.